Well, good evening, children. Tonight, I will be telling you a story about a missionary. This missionary lived and worked in the area very close to where Brother Dwight and I grew up. Have you ever heard of a man named David Zeisberger? No? David Zeisberger was a Moravian missionary. Now, the Moravians were people, actually they came from an area in Europe that is a part of the present-day Czech Republic. Moravia is no longer a country of its own, it's just an historical region. But in that land of Moravia, there was a man named Count Zinzendorf. And Count Zinzendorf was a Christian, a believer, and he was sympathetic when Christians in other parts of Europe were being persecuted. They could come to his estate, and he would take care of them there. The estate was called Herrenhut. We would, as we pronounce it in English, we would say Herrenhut. But it was a place in Moravia. And there at Herrenhut, there was a gathering of brethren that had a passion for God. They began a prayer meeting to pray for the salvation of people in the world. And this prayer meeting went on for over 100 years. How could they pray that long? Well, it was many different people praying, but there was always someone praying for the salvation of the lost. And they are known for sending missionaries to all parts of the world. David Zeisberger's parents left Moravia, and they came to settle in Georgia, where they were part of a Moravian mission there. Now, they did not bring their children along. David and his two siblings, he had a brother and a sister, were left in Holland. And there in Holland, he went to school. It was called a missionary school. But it was not the kind of school that you are enjoying here today. This was a school where they believed that children learn best when they are strictly disciplined and beaten almost to the point where it was brutal. David Zeisberger had, even late in life, still scars on his back from where the schoolmaster had beaten him, so that he would learn better. It was thought that that would make children learn faster and better if they were beaten. And so finally, David ran away. And he ran to England and there got on a ship and went to Georgia where he could meet his parents. When he arrived there at the camp where the brethren were living, one of the men wrote, it was David and another boy, one of the men wrote that two bad boys arrived today. But these bad boys were actually very committed to serving Jesus. And David then left Georgia and came to Pennsylvania. Now, the mountains of western Pennsylvania kind of divided in those days the place where the European settlers could safely settle an Indian country. And so if you went west of the mountains and crossed the Ohio River, you were in Indian territory. And David's passion was to preach to the American Indians. And in doing that, now this is typically not, these are not the kind of skills we think that a missionary would need. But he was a very proficient, a very skillful backwoodsman. He was able to live outdoors. He was an expert in hiking, in canoeing, and in horseback riding. And he traveled over 10,000 miles through the American wilderness. Excuse me. Many times he would even have to build his own canoe when he wanted to go down a river. He would face mosquitoes and rattlesnakes. Freezing cold, grass so sharp that it cut his clothing. and poorly marked trails, and he learned to speak Indian languages. So he could speak German, he could speak Dutch, he could speak English, and he learned a number of Indian languages, so much so that he was often called upon to translate when there would be negotiations between the American government, or the English government then, and the Indians. He was a very bold preacher. There is one account when David was preaching, that he had to travel to this Indian, it was a Seneca Indian village, and to travel there, he had to walk on what was called the Forbidden Trail. It was called the Forbidden Trail because the Indians had forbidden that any white man could walk this trail. If they would catch one, they would cut off his ears. And he, along with two converted Indians, walked that trail and came to the Seneca village. And there in that village, they preached for 8 days. Every day, there was a preaching service. And every day, David Zeisberger was preaching. And every night, the Indians would drink and party all night long because they loved alcohol. And so they were drinking during the night, and he was preaching during the day. And then they came to the end, and to the end of the preaching time, and David had asked, could I come back again to preach another week, because they really had not responded to the gospel. The chief of that village was also a medicine man. And so there was a showdown. And David was standing there waiting for an answer to his question if he could return, because he needed the permission of the chief. The chief looked at him and said, "You are preaching, you preach to us about how to get to heaven. I also know how to get to heaven. There are two ways. The one is the way of the white man, the other is the way of the Indians. And the way of the Indian is much more direct to heaven than the way of the white man." And David looked at him and he said, "You are a son of the devil, and you are preaching lies to your people." And there they stood with all of the Indians, all in a circle around them. And the chief and David Zeisberger were facing one another, and there was a long silence. And David knew that all the chief would have to do is give a signal, and he would be killed and scalped. And he stared at the chief, and the chief stared at him. And finally, the chief lowered his eyes, and the young Indian said, "Can he return?" And the chief said, "Yes, he can come and tell us about the way to heaven." So this was the kind of life that David Zeisberger led. Any story about him would not be complete without telling the story that took place in the county just east in Ohio, in the county just east of where Brother Dwight and I grew up. The name of that county is Tuscarawas, and it's named Tuscarawas for the river that flows through there. And that river was named by the Indians. That's an Indian name. And there in the Tuscarawas Valley, the Moravians, still today there are a lot of Moravian churches there. Now, they're very different from in the days of David Zeisberger. But there were numerous settlements there where Indians who had become Christians, who came out of the forest, and rather than continuing to live violently, they became peaceful. And rather than making war on each other and the white men in the Ohio Valley, they were peaceful farmers. They raised crops. They had a church house. They attended church faithfully. They were non-resistant, loving, faithful Christians. And David Zeisberger was the preacher at a place called Gnadenhütten. Or in German, we would say Gnadenhütten. But that's still a town today. And then there came a war. And David Zeisberger was arrested by the British and was carried off to toward Detroit, but was up on the shores of Lake Erie. There he was during the winter. It was very cold. With him were a whole group. All of the members of his church there in Janatan Hutton were carried with him. And it was very cold, and they did not have enough food to eat. They had hundreds of bushels of corn that they had buried in the snow when they had to flee, or when they were arrested and had to leave. So they asked permission and were granted permission. Permission was granted to 90 of these Indians to go back to Janatan Hutton and to dig up that corn and bring it so that they would have something to eat so they would not starve. While they were there digging up the corn, it was very cold during the wintertime, and while they were there digging up the corn, unknown to them, there was a war party of Indians that crossed the Ohio River and went over into Washington County, Pennsylvania. That is where the Cornerstone Church that is in Burgettstown, Pennsylvania. It's in that area where that church is now. There they went, and they killed a number of white men, and they captured a woman and a little boy and took them along. And once the Indians had crossed the Ohio River again, they got tired of carrying along these captives, and so they killed the woman and the little boy, and they hung them in a tree just to make those who would follow them furious. And then they went on, this war party, and they came to Janatan Hutton. And there were the peaceful Christian Indians who were digging up the corn and getting ready to take this to feed the rest of their brethren up on the shores of Lake Erie. The war party had the dress along of the woman that they had killed, and they sold that dress to these peaceful Indians. And one of the girls that was helping dig up the corn wore the dress that belonged to the woman that the Indians had just killed. And then a captain in the American colonial captain and his soldiers came along, and they were following the Indians. And they came to the camp, and here were the peaceful Indians still preparing corn to take to feed their brethren. And they insisted that they were innocent. They had nothing to do. Their leader was an Indian who had taken the Christian name Isaac. And this is what Isaac said. "We do not go to war anymore. We are followers of the Son of God, and we do no man harm." But there stood the Indian girl wearing the dress of the woman that had been killed. And so the soldiers took counsel, and they took a vote to decide what should we do with these Indians. And the vote carried to kill them all. So they allowed them to have one night in the church house. All the Indians went to the church house there in Janatan Hutton, and there they spent the night praying and singing. And when the morning came, they brought them out, and one by one, with a mallet, they were killed, all 90 of them, except for one boy who escaped after he was scalped, and another boy who ran away. And the two of them found each other and escaped to tell the story. This was a great, great sadness to David. "The blood flowed in the streams," the boys said. But in all of this, David did not become bitter, because he was like the Indians who had given their lives. He said, "I do no man harm." Today yet, in Janatan Hutton, there's a monument to the Indians that were killed there. And there's actually a mound there where some of them are buried, or where they are buried. David Zeisberger is buried in a place named Goshen, a little village just on down the river from Janatan Hutton. The reason I tell you this story is because there are today so many Christians who are so weak in their faith and so little committed to being what God wants us to be. And it does us good when we hear about Christians who were staunch in their faith, who would stand for what is right, who were not embarrassed to witness for the gospel, who would look an Indian chief in the eye when they know that the man would just have to give the signal and he would be scalped, who would suffer hardship and cold and heat and mosquitoes and rattlesnakes to preach the gospel. We need more boys and girls with that kind of faith and that kind of commitment. We need more men and women with that kind of faith and that kind of commitment. So when you come to Ohio sometime to visit, then ask your moms and dads to take you to Jonathan Hutton. And while you're on the way to Jonathan Hutton, drive on down along the Tuscarawas River to Goshen. And there you'll find the marker where David Zeisberger is buried. You may go back to your parents.